Radio Network, broadcasting from the Lucas Oil Studios,
driven by General Tire
and powered by 1-800-LOAN-MART.
Get cash fast when you need it.
It's Speed Freaks, motorsports radio redefined with Kenny Sargent.
We love to party.
Crash Gladys.
What are we doing for the bachelorette party?
And Stepman.
I am serious.
Here's the Freaks.
Back with the second hour of Speed Freaks, the Freak Radio Network, as we do it up every Sunday night at Lucas Oil Studios. Coming up this hour, highlights from our Ron Katz interview. Again, Crasher, I am blue in the face, and that's from all the alcohol that I've had over the last 7 days and talking about Ron Katz and his freaking ESPY.
It's actually 10 days. Come on, let's face it. We're talking 2 weekends surrounding 4th of July. We've had 4 fireworks shows in the span of 8 to 10 days. Crazy. Ron Capps, yes, we are blue in the face. ESPY voting goes from July 2016 to June 2017. In that time span, Ron Capps has the best record of all the other drivers nominated for an ESPY in the best driver category. So, yeah, you like what Jimmy Johnson did in 2016, but that's not the time frame we're talking about. Vote Ron as best driver of the year. Oh, no, by the way, no NHRA driver has ever won an ESPY. That needs to end right now.
Real quick, Crasher, I know we talked a little bit about who's going to fill that seat for Matt Kenseth next year. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about that last hour.
Derek Jones.
You go back and look at the numbers with Joe Gibbs Racing. Entering the 18th race of the season last night prior to Kentucky, still looking for their first win. Again, what, 100, 111 laps, Kyle Busch
really
led. It's only the sixth time in the 26-year history of Joe Gibbs Racing, and the first time in the last 13 years where Joe Gibbs Racing opened the season winless in the first 17 races.
Only 6 times in 26 years? Wow.
Kyle Busch, we saw, started from the pole yesterday, Kentucky. Matt Kenseth, he started third. Denny Hamlin started fifth. Daniel Suarez started ninth. Busch and Kenseth share prior to Kentucky last night, share the top average finish, just over fifth at Kentucky among the 40 entries of last night. Yep.
Nobody was touching Martin Truex Jr. last night, though. I mean, Kyle Busch took 2 tires. You would think, and even Martin himself said he thought he was a dead in the water. You would think that Kyle Busch would have gone on to take that win in overtime. What, only 3 laps? Green, white, checkered. And nope, Martin. Nobody was going to beat him. He dominated that race.
Again, Freak Nation, at Speed Freaks on Twitter, of course, Facebook, and the website speedfreaks.tv. Over 17 years, we've been doing it up from the Lucas Oil Studios.
And the Lucas Oil Studios are on the Gulf of Mexico tonight. Sorry, not sorry, but it is still kind of vacation, 4th of July.
Statman, Crash Gladys, Kenny Sargent, Speed Freaks on a Sunday night. And speaking of Martin Truex, can we throw Martin Truex in there? How many stages has this dude won from the kickoff of the season, Crasher, from February to where we are now on the first week of July?
Yeah, if we were only talking about just the beginning of this season, Martin Truex Jr. is, I mean, I know Kyle Larson leads the points.
Right.
But Martin Truex Jr. has had the most phenomenal first half of the season, in my opinion. He has 13 mid-race stage wins. No other driver in the entire series has more than 4. Hello? How many laps did he lead last night? He dominated that race, won all 3 stages, 150-some-odd laps led, 152. Hello, we could be looking at the next champion in the NASCAR series, which I'm not going to say that I'm upset at that.
And we continue to go back. By the way, you got Speed Freaks on a Sunday night, the website speedfreaks.tv. We're on Twitter at Speed Freaks and, of course, Facebook. Yeah, I keep going back to the fact that it's basically a one-car team. Granted, there's satellite parts and pieces and data that they collect from other teams, but given the fact that Martin Truex isn't winning an occasional segment, dude is dominating. Mm-hmm. Absolutely dominating. And of course, there's a lot of this talk about Eric Jones,
it's a
teammate, but still, it's not a Joe Gibbs Racing. It's not a Chip Ganassi.
Speaking of,
they don't have the funds that a Joe Gibbs has or a Hendrick motorsports has. And the fact that Martin Truex is, again, killing it, freaking killing it. Eric Jones is allegedly headed to Joe Gibbs Racing. Joe Gibbs brought up yesterday in Kentucky. He says there's a lot of moving parts here. We can't confirm or deny. What's going on if Matt Kenseth's going to be back in the car next year?
Oh, come on. Let's just face it. Even with Dale Earnhardt Jr. basically chiming in on this situation, it makes me want to believe, since Dale Jr. was pretty adamant with his quotes this weekend, that yes, it's pretty much a done deal. Eric Jones is going to be in the 20 next year with Joe Gibbs Racing.
We'd like to welcome in our Freak Nation affiliates joining us here in the Freak Nation. Thank you guys for being a part of it. Again, it's Speed Freaks and speedfreaks.tv.
But with Dale Jr. speaking so prominently on this, how can it not be possible that Matt Kenseth goes into the 88 next year? It's Kenseth, if he doesn't take Eric Jones' slot and just do the simple swap over at Furniture Row, how can he not be in the 88? It's one of those two seats. He's going to be fine.
The website, speedfreaks.tv, and there on Twitter. Again, to reset this thing, we got Mario Andretti. He's going to be joining us in here. Ron Capps up for an ESPY.
Vote for Ron. How many times do I have to say this? The ESPYs, July 2016 to June 2017. Sure, Jimmy Johnson, seven-time champion in NASCAR. It was amazing what he did last year, but the ESPYs are not just about 2016. In the time frame of voting for the ESPYs, Ron Capps, NHRA driver Ron Capps, has the best record. Go now and vote for Capps. He is the one deserving.
And when you look at what he's done, you talk about how they want to get young dudes in the seat in really all of motorsports, young men and women, I should say, to, again, replace some of those old-ass bastards that are falling off the back of the stands. Here's Ron Capps, my age, winning freaking championships and winning races, and who's up for an ESPY. I'm sure the oldest cat there in running in the category for auto racing.
You know, I bet you're right. Yes, I think you are right, because he's up against, what, Simon Pagenaud, Jimmy Johnson, Lewis Hamilton, Martin Truex Jr. Yeah, I think you are right.
Think about that.
Interesting.
Think about that, Freak Nation. Here's Ron Capps. We talk to him about it anytime he rolls in the Freak Nation. We talk about his age. It's not derogatory, just the fact that here's this guy that's been running funny cars for about 20 years with some legendary team owners, and then finally wins a championship last year. He's been a race away from winning it before, but at his age now, he's doing it. That's how we roll here in the Freak Nation.
Are we supposed to kind of brag and say that we are overlooking the Gulf of Mexico right now doing this show?
I don't know what you see, Crash.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, we're doing our show. We're still on vacation. Yes, 4th of July is two weekends and a whole week in between, and we're still there.
Yeah, she's just rubbing it in the face of you, Freak Nation. I am
just
sorry. I feel your pity. I absolutely
Oh,
do.
Yeah, you do, because you're sitting right next to me looking at this ocean.
Speed Freaks. Mario Andretti answering the phones at Speed Freaks World Headquarters.
Hello, this is Mario Andretti. You've reached the offices of Speed Freaks.
Speed Freaks, hauling Andretti's hardware.
You're listening to the Speed Freaks, the only group that could carry my jockstrap.
So what the f*** is AJ thinking?
I'm AJ Foyt, and you're listening to Speed Freaks. They also want me to sign their butt, but I won't.
Speed Freaks, motorsports radio redefined.
No matter how big your car or truck is, nothing in your engine takes more abuse than its oil. But with Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer, your engine oil will last longer to do the job it was designed to do. Protect your engine and offer peak performance. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer eliminates dry starts, lowers engine temperatures, and prolongs the life of your oil up to 50%. Don't let your engine be caught dead without the protection and performance of Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer.
What's up? It's Kenny Sargent. And for my motorsports fix, bam, I turn it on MAV-TV. MAV-TV, a network loaded with car and motorcycle shows, motorsports events, and exclusive automotive reality shows like Full Custom, Wrench Wars. What about drag boats? They got them. Off-road, sprint cars, pro pulling league, motocross, they're all on MAV-TV. It's the answer for those jonesing looking for some automotive action. Don't get MAV-TV? Call your local provider and get it. Check them out at MAV-TV.com on Twitter and Facebook. MAV-TV is motorsport.
Hey, cat owners, stop killing the earth. Yeah, you heard me right. You've done angelic work by rescuing cats from death row. Now do your part to save the planet. Dump your old clay litter, part of 8 billion pounds of waste clogging up landfills yearly, and go to catspotlitter.com. Order the all-natural, all-organic cat spot litter. It's made of 100% coconut, it's long-lasting, it eliminates odors, and only weighs 5 pounds. Oh, and delivered to your door for just $15 a month with free delivery. Hello. Look, unlike old, dusty, heavy clay litter that we're so used to, Cat Spot Litter's work is not over when the litter box needs to be changed. When your Cat Spot Litter has run its course, you dump it in your garden, your lawn, compost it. It contains natural nutrients and absorbs water. You've saved a cat's life. Now go save the planet at catspotlitter.com. Your cat will thank you, and the planet thanks you. Organic, odor eliminating, and just $15 a month. Catspotlitter.com.
With 2.7 million miles of paved roads and 1.4 million miles of unpaved roads in the U.S., where will your Continental Tires take you? Continental Tires' new Terrain Contact AT is the ideal all-terrain tire for CUV, SUV, and light trucks, and will get you where you need to go. Traction Plus technology gives you the durability to conquer dirt, gravel, and grass, while also providing a quiet, comfortable ride on pavement. For more information, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what? You do.
Introducing Lucas Oil Racing TV, your exclusive unlimited 24/7 motorsports app. Now you can watch all your favorite motorsports anytime, anywhere. Get the finest in grassroots racing, national events, live coverage, behind-the-scenes action, and interviews you won't see anywhere else. There's also automotive how-to shows and some of motorsport's biggest names like Dave Despain, hosting the legends and current superstars of racing. For more information, visit lucasoilracing.tv. Lucas Oil Racing TV. Grab it and hold on tight.
You're listening to Speed Freaks. Motorsports Radio Redefined.
Mario Andretti's joining the Freak Nation once again. I thought about this, Mario. Before there was Mario Andretti, what did the parents say to their kids when they were going fast in the car? Because that's what, you know, my parents would say to me, Kenny, who the hell do you think you are, Mario Andretti? What did parents do back in the 50s, maybe early 60s, before there was Mario Andretti?
Probably, who do you think you are, Crash Gladys? Yeah, that had to be.
Did you say, like, Fangio, or what'd you say?
She's been around forever, you know.
When you were speeding around in a car as a teenager, how did your parents tell you to slow the hell down?
We did it without their knowledge. You know, my brother and I, Aldo, had a 57 Chevy, which really was the car of the moment back then in 57, 58. And my dad used to look at the speedometer. He didn't want to see too many miles on the car. So in those days, we used to just disconnect the speedometer. So after the weekend, you know, we'd be gallivanting all over the place. And after the weekend, he'd go over and look at the thing and only had 3 miles. You know, he said, man, these kids are good. I mean, they really take care of this car, you know, no mileage. So, you know, we had a way to just be able to take care of dad, you know, and so he would like us.
We're coming up 2 years away from your 50th anniversary of your 1969 win here at the Indy 500. And because of that, because of last year's 100th anniversary of the 500, a bunch of things. There's been a lot of specials done with you, Mario. And I've learned that you and your brother Aldo, you were a bit troublemakers when you came to America. And that's just one little story. Give us something else.
Well, again, you know, Aldo and I obviously had this dream and we were going to race no matter what. And I knew that my father was not going to approve it. So we were underage at the time, and we just had to do it and just fly under the radar. And the thing that actually protected us was the language barrier, because we started racing 4 years after we arrived in America. And, you know, our English was pretty good already, because even in school in Italy, we had 3 years of English, so it helped. But my dad, you know, he was not quite there, so you know, his boss would go up to him, hey, so your kids are winning some races and that. And he thought that the guy was praising him for his work. So
So we got away with it, you know. But, you know, and later he became, you know, the staunchest fan. But at the beginning, he just, you know, if you're not a race fan, like he certainly was never until later, all you heard about is fatalities in those times. And unfortunately, there were too many of those. And because of that, he figured, you know, you do something like that, it was just going to bring you back in a body bag. And so as a father, you know, there's and he, if he could stop it, he would have. But by the time that he came aware of all this, we were old enough to make, you know, to do it.
Mario, what made your parents flip? What made them change and allow you and your brother Aldo to race? Some parents never do that until they find out that their kids are good at what they say they want to do, and it keeps the kids from having to break the parents' rules. What made your parents change?
Well, true. I mean, it's, you know, we had really a very auspicious beginning, Aldo and I both. And unfortunately, Aldo did not have much luck in the very last race of the first season. He was very seriously injured, and he had to take a sabbatical, actually, for the following year. But I was the fortunate one, kept going. And you know, my dad, all of a sudden, once I was 21, he figured, you know, okay, now I can't stop him anymore. And he started going to Aldo and say, hey, how's Mario doing? And then, but then Aldo was racing again. And then he come to me and say, how's Aldo doing? You know, so so actually what's funny is that in 1964, when I got my first break to drive a champ car, which was finally at the top level of Indy cars, it was in Trenton, New Jersey. And my very first race, I had never raced at Trenton. And it was a car that actually Troy Ruttman had driven before I did. You know, and so, anyway, he expected, oh, yeah, kid's going to go out there, he's going to win. So I finished a pretty credible ninth. And he came over and said, yeah, he did okay today, you know. But, you know, he thought I was going to, so, you know. Yeah, he said, okay, you know, you did all right, but, you know.
Mario Andretti joining the Freaks. You look at what the drivers are doing today, and we've talked to a number of guys from your generation who tend to bitch and moan about how easy it is for drivers to drive Indy cars nowadays. What's Mario Andretti's take on that?
Well, obviously, you know, the equipment is capable. If you're doing 230 miles an hour, you know, the equipment is capable of doing that. Today, you know, I've done 232 miles an hour in practice here, you know, in 1994, you know, but in those days we had the horsepower, but this corner speed was obviously not there. We didn't have the downforce. Now there's so much downforce, and you think it's easier, but I'll tell you what, to really go fast, you have to trim the car out to the point that you're driving it. Believe me, I take nothing away from today's racers. Like I said, times evolve, times change. Of course they do. You know, but the human element in the car is still very much the same. When you're going to take it to the limit, you take it to the limit. And that spells, you know, you go beyond that, spells disaster, if you will. I mean, we've seen here just a very experienced driver like, you know, Sebastian Bourdais, who's out there, and he just, the car let go on him, and the slightest correction is an overcorrection. I mean, you think you should have known, but, you know, things happen so quickly. And so give these guys credit. Believe me, I'm driving a two-seater. I'm, you know, reaching a 200-mile-an-hour range with that thing now. And, you know, I know what we're talking about. And again, it's the limit is the limit. And by all means, give these guys credit.
Is there any comparison, Mario, between the car of the 90s and the car of today? Both are going about the same speeds now, but they seem like they're very different.
Well, yes, very easily. I mean, you like it if the car feels good. You know, it's that simple. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah, you know, it's a race driver has a feel. That's one thing that I even, you know, said to Fernando Alonso when he got here. I said, trust your butt, you know. You're a race driver, and if it feels right, you go fast. If it doesn't, don't. you know, and it's the same. I know that when I moving around myself from discipline to discipline, and the cars were like, you know, apples to orange. But still, when you got in that car, it either if it felt right, you went and you potentially won. If it didn't, you didn't. So the feel is the same.
You know, that's kind of what we do in radio, Kenny. Trust your butt. You know, make sure that, you know, if your butt's good, then the radio will be good.
Sometimes I talk from my butt, and it actually sounds better than that coming out of my pie hole.
We all do that from time to time.
Yeah, well, I was talking to, again, a couple of your good friends back in the day, and we were thinking about ways how we could put some more butts in the stands. And if you go back into the day, when my dad would get off his radio gig in Oklahoma, then in Dallas, he'd go out to the dirt track or drag strip, and it would be about boobs, barbecue, and booze. Do we need more boobs, barbecue, and booze?
Well, I guess all of that would help. I mean, it's a formula that, as old as it is, will always work, you know, but... At the same time, I think I've been preaching, and the series is really picking up on this finally, that, you know, it's about the series. It's not just about Indianapolis. Indianapolis will always be the crown jewel, but I think IndyCar has to start really, really talking about the champions of the series, build the series itself. And, you know, not enough people, not enough of our fan base really know who our real champions are, let alone Indianapolis win. Champions, season champions, national champions. You know, like I get in, you know, introduced, you know, 1969, Indianapolis, what the hell? I mean, I'm four-time national champion. You know what I mean? It's a championship, really. Let's get on with that. Indianapolis will always be at the forefront, you know, but... It's the series champion, and as you build up the series, Indianapolis benefits, the sport in general benefits, and the fan base obviously will finally get to know our drivers, which today, the product, I'm telling you, you know, the product as good as I've seen it. You know, the depth, what else you want? Again, you know, the product is there.
Mario, when a driver like Fernando Alonso, a two-time F1 champion, when he comes to the United States, does he speak to you as Mario Andretti, the Formula One champion, the IndyCar champion, the Indy 500 champion, or just the respect of a champion driver?
We're just racers, you know, and that's what we pride ourselves with. I like to think that when we talk about anything, about driving, whatever, we know we're, you know, each one understands the other. So there's not a lot that needs to be said to someone that's as accomplished as Fernando. But he has some of the pertinent questions. Obviously, he's experiencing something different, something new. But at the same time, I've seen him just really slide in there, you know, with the best of ease and comfort and really confidence. You could see that. He's very tranquil, and the thing that actually impressed me the most is the fact is how quickly he's got in the correct line through the track. He's taking advantage every inch properly, right from the beginning, and I said, that's a racer.
Can the same be said about Kurt Busch when he jumped in that IndyCar?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Kurt, I think here again, you know, he came to the team, they gave him every tool possible, you know, with the information. Michael has a very clear policy of an open book, you know, between all the teams. You can look at anybody's worksheet and know what your, you know, your teammate is doing. I mean, that's precious, precious, precious. So for someone from the outside coming in like Kurt did and now Fernando, gosh, is that, you know, unbelievable. You know, it's... You can ultimately, you know, you have a setup and naturally you're going to try to, you know, to tweak it so to your liking. But you're starting with something that's basic. It's solid. It's good. And that's a wonderful feeling in itself. So a lot of these, what Michael, you know, my son, but what he's providing for anyone like that is luxury, believe me, when it comes to motorsports. And so I think he's here with a good team. And, I mean, let's face it. I mean, his performance speaks for itself. I mean, if any of the doubters have said, well, gosh, you know, what's he doing? What is he doing there? And this and that. You know what? His performance justifies the move in itself. And looks like, you know, McLaren themselves, you know, they're backing him up because they want to see some smile for him. They haven't been able to really give him the type of equipment that is worthy of him, and they know that. They know that very well. You know, so they're giving him this opportunity, and, you know, hopefully he'll go back, and then they'll probably have some upgrades, you know, on their own car that they will finish out the season properly for him, you know, where he's going to have a smile in the Formula One. But meanwhile, this could really be a very shining part of his season.
Mario Andretti joining the Freaks. As always, great insight, but more importantly, he gets to share some of his Andretti. There's no wine here. Where the hell is it? Holmes?
After five.
After five, we're going to get some of that tasty red from Andretti Vineyards. Mario, as always, hopefully you enjoyed it about as half as much as we enjoyed this.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good evening, my fellow citizens.
The NASCAR Cup Series was a shining light Daytona. The end of the race found new names competing wheel to wheel for the win. It wasn't a situation where the big names like Harvick or Johnson or Busch were in the battle and lost. This time, new names like Ricky Stenhouse and Paul Menard and David Ragan were in the battle, and Stenhouse came out ahead for his second win of the year. It could be because Ford has put together a great season for guys like Stenhouse, Clint Bowyer, and Ragan, but for the sake of NASCAR's Cup Series future, new people are learning race wincraft, and that's a good thing. And speaking of racecraft and wins, if you didn't see the pass for the lead in the ultimate IMSA victory today at Watkins Glen, you missed something special. I just don't understand people who call themselves race fans but spit on sports car racing. Joao Barbosa drove around Stephen Simpson on the outside of Turn 1, something that's supposed to be impossible, but he did it anyway. Barbosa then held off Simpson to get the six-hour win at the Glen. Seeing guards change and impossible things unfold is what makes racing, or sports in general for that matter, makes it special. Peace.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined. You're listening to Speed Freaks Motorsports Radio Redefined.
Freaks on a Sunday night, Crash Gladys, Kenny Sargent, Statman, and the website speedfreaks.tv. That's where you go if you miss any of the show here in the Freak Nation, as we've done it up every night from the Lucas Oil Studios. We've been chasing this guy for a couple of weeks. And Crasher, when you saw some of the headlines of what Brandon Jones did at Michigan 2 weekends ago in the ARCA race, running on those general tires, I know exactly what you thought of and the driver that you thought of when it was a spin to win. What was the driver that you thought of, Crasher, when you saw this with Brandon Jones?
Well, you see spin to win in a headline, and automatically anyone who's anyone in motorsports, their mind goes to Danny Sullivan, 1986 Indy 500. Because that was the infamous spin to win. But hey, Brandon Jones is making something different of it right now.
Brandon Jones, have you heard of those comparisons to back in the day?
Y'all just gave me a first for that, for sure. I like it, though, man. That's a good one, for sure. He's a legend. So that's a good part to be remembered after, for sure.
Now, think about this, Brandon Jones. Of course, you've run the ARCA series, you're running the Xfinity series, you run truck series. In this race at Michigan, and you go back to what you did at Daytona, these larger tracks, you seem to have something down on these larger tracks. But at the same time, you've got something down, and you spin. How do you kick yourself in the ass and get back into it to realize, you know what, I'm not out of this damn thing yet?
Well, I feel like if we didn't jump out like we did to start that race and start leading, you know, pretty early on and got a pretty good little jump on those guys, I've been a little worried, but I felt like, you know, the whole day we really just had just a solid race car the entire race, you know, and really just a pitch perfect day, honestly. I felt like, you know, from practice to qualifying, getting the pole, and then going the winning, I thought we had a pretty dominant car for sure. So, you know, I wasn't surprised that we got back to the lead. I was shocked at how long it, you know, how short of a time it did take me to get back up there, though. I felt like, you know, we weaved through traffic pretty well and was able to take the lead back away pretty quick. So at that point, I knew we were in good shape.
Brandon Jones, ARCA winner from Michigan a couple of weekends ago, and running full-time the Xfinity Series, of course, some truck races. Talk about that, though. Did they check? Did they spot check your car immediately after the win? Because it looked like you were a freaking hot knife through butter running between those cars.
Well, that's the more impressive thing, man. You know, NBM hasn't really been a team for very long now. So for those guys to be producing cars that are incredibly fast like that and being able to win races and dominate like that, in just a short amount of time, that's accomplishment for themselves, you know, within that. So I was proud of that group for being able to put together cars that way and producing stuff like that. So that was very cool for them. They do, you know, they go through a tech right after the race, and everything passed, man. So they just built a rocket ship that race.
You know, we talk to winners on Speed Freaks almost every weekend. Actually, we do talk to winners every weekend. And it's funny, there is a common theme. The car felt so good. It was so solid. It was, everything just was perfect this weekend. And so that sounds easy to fans that, well, of course, you know, you're winning because everything's perfect. But getting to that spot of perfection is so difficult. And like you just alluded to, with a team that's basically just putting these cars together recently, explain to fans just how difficult that is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, an extremely great race car driver, talking about championship caliber, cup winning guys, can take probably an average car and you know, make it a winning car. Just about the knowledge they know how to do and how do they, you know, adjust the car during the race to make it a little bit better. I feel like that's where, you know, you see a separation between an extremely great guy, professional, to a kid that may just, you know, got going. You know, this is just my second year now. In Xfinity, I've raced ARCA a couple times, never even made a full season in ARCA. So, you know, to see the experience level there, that's a whole other thing. But whenever you get your heights right on your car and whenever you get that setup right, it just makes it that much easier. We didn't fire off that way, though. You know, as soon as we unloaded that day for practice, we were, you know, about a 20th place car the way it was running. And, you know, made just a couple of changes and made, you know, a few different chassis adjustments and made it to where it was a winning car. So it did take a little bit to get there. It didn't start out as being that. So that's the biggest thing, really. But once you do get it dialed in, it's just a breeze to drive. But when it's not dialed in, it's not a breeze to drive. There's a lot of things you really have to adjust yourself and things you have to do inside the car to make it drive better.
ARCA driver, Xfinity driver, Camping World Truck Series driver. Brandon Jones joins us here in the Speed Freaks pits. Can you describe one of the most, oh gosh, uncomfortable days behind the butterfly sitting in the cockpit? Can you just describe how bad it can possibly be?
Yeah, I think those days are when you wreck really early, but you didn't wreck enough to destroy your car, so you've got to wipe the entire race out in like a wrecked car and ill handling, and you got to run laps down. That's the worst, you know, running laps down and just waving people on the entire race and not being able to race. That's when it's bad and not fun, and then you start worrying about other things like heat inside the car and the way the car's performing. So there's a lot more things going through your mind than it is just trying to pass the guy in front of you. You know, there's those options as well. So that's not fun for sure.
Brandon Jones is in the Speed Freaks pits. Brandon, you won at Michigan. You know, we're big pimps for Continental Tires here. You run in a lot of series. You ever see any difference between tires from ARCA to Xfinity to NASCAR trucks?
I really haven't noticed a big difference. You know, at Pocono, we unfortunately had a flat in our ARCA race. I feel like we actually could have won that race as well, and just had a flat there. And then going to the Xfinity race, I had another flat. So that's two different tires, two different brands. You know, maybe similar compounds, but not 100% sure. So, I mean, I think they actually perform pretty, you know, consistent to what our Xfinity or trucks really do perform. Haven't seen any big differences or any, you know, better or worse out of the two tires.
Brandon, thanks for taking time out and joining the Freaks, bud.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Speed Freaks, a who's who in motorsports.
Hey, this is Tony Stewart,
Ricky Carmichael,
Dale Earnhardt Jr.,
and Big Daddy Don Garlitch,
Manny Castroneves,
Vince New,
Mario Andretti,
Jeremy McGrath,
Jimmy Johnson,
Dal Unser Jr.
I'm Jim Neighbors.
Well, golly.
Speed Freaks, motorsports radio redefined.
Introducing Lucas Oil Racing TV, your exclusive unlimited 24/7 motorsports app. Now you can watch all your favorite motorsports anytime, anywhere. Get the finest in grassroots racing, national events, live coverage, behind-the-scenes action, and interviews you won't see anywhere else. There's also automotive how-to shows and some of motorsport's biggest names like Dave Despain, hosting the legends and current superstars of racing. For more information, visit lucasoilracing.tv. Lucas Oil Racing TV. Grab it and hold on tight.
With 2.7 million miles of paved roads and 1.4 million miles of unpaved roads in the U.S., where will your Continental Tires take you? Continental Tires' new Terrain Contact AT is the ideal all-terrain tire for CUV, SUV, and light trucks and will get you where you need to go. Traction Plus technology gives you the durability to conquer dirt, gravel, and grass while also providing a quiet, comfortable ride on pavement. For more information, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what you do.
Looking for more performance out of your car or truck? Looking to do it without breaking the bank? Then look no further than Lucas Octane Booster. Just one little bottle can increase the boost from your turbocharger while promoting a clean fuel burn for lower emissions. Lucas Octane Booster is a genuine engine performance enhancer that is safe for turbos, oxygen sensors, and catalytic converters. It stops the NOx while raising MPG in high compression engines. Not bad from one little red bottle.
Hey, cat owners, stop killing the earth. Yeah, you heard me right. You've done angelic work by rescuing cats from death row. Now do your part to save the planet. Dump your old clay litter, part of 8 billion pounds of waste clogging up landfills yearly, and go to catspotlitter.com. Order the all-natural, all-organic cat spot litter. It's made of 100% coconut. It's long-lasting. It eliminates odors and only weighs 5 pounds. Oh, and delivered to your door for just $15 a month with free delivery. Hello. Look, unlike old, dusty, heavy clay litter that we're so used to, Cat Spot Litter's work is not over when the litter box needs to be changed. When your Cat Spot Litter has run its course, you dump it in your garden, your lawn, compost it. It contains natural nutrients and absorbs water. You've saved a cat's life. Now go save the planet at catspotlitter.com. Your cat will thank you, and the planet thanks you. Organic, odor eliminating, and just $15 a month. Catspotlitter.com.
Are you tired of all the hassles that come with just shining your tires? Introducing the No Mess Tire Dressing Applicator. No mess on the rim, no harmful chemicals on your hands. Simply spray your favorite dressing on the specially formulated foam and apply with precision. Then store it away in its own unique case for quick and easy cleanup. Get four No Mess applicators now for only $9.99 at buynomess.com.
You're listening to Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio Redefined.
Speed Freaks on a Sunday night in the Lucas Oil Studios. Crash Gladys, Statman, Kenny Sargent. Follow us on Twitter. We're there on Facebook and, of course, the website, speedfreaks.tv. And if you have a very long complaint or love letter that you want to send me, you just email it. pitcrew@speedfreaks.tv. Worked with this dude many, many years ago with, was it Bobby Labonte?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Bobby Labonte back in the day. So what's he been doing since then? Well, he's been gathering just over 1,000 facts. In fact, 1,001 NASCAR facts, cars, tracks, milestones, personalities, and your author is John Close. John, why 1,001 facts of NASCAR with this book and not 17,000.
Well, I'd like to think there's darn near 17,000 in it, because every one of the 1,001 facts has, multiple elements to it. So each one is four or five facts in itself. But actually, Kenny, the people at Car Tech Books in Minneapolis, St. Paul approached me about writing this book, and it's part of a series. The original book that was in the series was 1,001 muscle car facts, written by Steve Magnantes, and I think everybody knows who he is. He's the dude that stands in front of all the cars on the Barrett Jackson auction and just knows everything about every one of them. So they started with that, and then they did 1,001 Harley facts and 1,001 Mustang facts, and I think there's drag racing facts in there as well. And they decided they wanted to do a NASCAR book of 1,001 facts, so they had the format, and they were gracious enough to call me and ask me if I wanted to write it.
See, that's the thing. Of all the writers and all the PR people in NASCAR, and even all the people behind the scenes that have maybe never written before but could have some pretty dang good facts, they chose you. That is awesome, because now you, John Close, are number one in sales in all of automotive on Amazon.com because of this.
Yeah, absolutely stunning to me, Crash. You know, I thought that the book would do well, and you hope that it'll do well, but right out of the gate, it shot up on Amazon to number one in new releases in automotive, and by the second day, it was number one in automotive racing history, and then, number one NASCAR book on Amazon.com, and these are all based on sales, so people are buying it. I didn't really have that kind of success with my other books, but for whatever reason, this one has really struck a chord, and people are going out and buying it.
What do you think the difference is? Because, yeah, your first book, I think, was a book on Tony Stewart, from Indy Phenom to NASCAR Superstar. What do you think the difference is between this book and that book and others?
Well, a lot of it, I think, has to do with the format, Crash. You know, it's really easy to read. It's factoid format. You can sit down and look at it for 5 minutes, or you can sit down and look at it for an hour or so. A couple people actually told me that it resembled an Uncle John's bathroom reader, and they were kind of apologetic for saying that. But honestly, those are great books. I love those books, you know, because, again, it's factoid format. It's easy to read. They're fun books to read. The book doesn't take itself too seriously, obviously. So I just think a lot of it has to do with format, and also because it's all-encompassing NASCAR, as opposed to, you know, my first book obviously appealed to Tony Stewart fans. My second book appealed to fans of the truck series. So this is more encompassing as a community, and I just think because of the format and the broader nature of it, it has more appeal.
Freak Nation, his name, John Close, the author of 1,001 NASCAR Facts, Cars, Tracks, Milestones, Personalities, evidently doing quite well on Amazon.com. But the bitch for me, though, John, is you got 1,001 facts, meaning you got to double, triple, and quadruple check your facts, because you know NASCAR fans,
they will call your butt out if you got a fact wrong.
Well, that's that is also a fact, my friend. NASCAR Nation is pretty good at telling you to pit when you got a problem. And I'm going to be honest about it. We've looked through the first edition here, and there are some errors in it. I mean, when you have 150,000 words condensed into 1,001 facts and 125 photos, there's going to be some typos. There's some things here, but the good people at CarTech have already told me we're definitely going to go to a second printing of this. So we're already making those edits. And frankly, if somebody finds an error, I mean, we need to know about it, because I definitely want this to be as factual as it possibly can be.
What's yeah, but when you're talking about personalities, I mean, that's part of the book is personalities. I mean, facts can be used very loosely.
Oh, for sure. And I really love the breakdown on this book. The personalities part, initially we talked about doing just drivers, but we decided to make that an area called Pit Pass because there are so many different personalities that contributed to the history of NASCAR, right down to Jocko Flacco, a monkey that used to ride shotgun with Tim Flock in the 1950s. And there's all kinds of stories, whether it's owners, mechanics, sponsors, those kind of things, in addition to the drivers. And we certainly wanted to include all of those stories or as many of them as we could. So it's a pretty cool history book. The first chapter is actually entitled BNR, Before NASCAR Ruled, and it covers auto racing in the United States from basically the turn of the century through up until the 1940s when NASCAR evolved out of it. I think it was important to tell those stories and those facts as well to set the stage as to, what NASCAR became. And then after that, again, it's a really easy format to follow. It's by decade, so if you have a personal part of NASCAR that you particularly like, whether it was the 60s, 70s, 80s, it's really easy to access and really easy to read.
John Close, joining the Freaks. And again, it's a great read, Freak Nation. 1,001 NASCAR facts, cars, tracks, milestones, personalities. You've already given a hell of a story in regards to this snappy little monkey riding in the car. Are there current drivers or maybe a driver or two that's recently retired that you have some interesting facts on them?
Well, without giving the book away, there's a lot of interesting facts. The older ones, a lot of people don't know too much about. Some of the newer ones are a little more well known, but certain things, statistical anomalies, were for instance, we had a string of like 4 or 5 straight years where the person who won the most races in the whatever it was in NASCAR Winston Cup, Nextel Sprint, it changed there for a bit. The driver that won the most races the year before didn't win a single race the following year for 4 consecutive seasons.
Whoa.
Just really all kinds of stuff all over, personal stories, individual stories. The first, one that I really like is the first win for Ford ever in NASCAR after Bill France formed the Strictly Stock division was by a guy named Jimmy Florian. So it was not only his first win, it was Ford's first win, but the rest of the story is it was on a really hot day in Ohio, so he drove the entire race without a shirt on. There's just stories like that all over the place that have little tales to the story that kind of make them more interesting and flush out the book. So I'm really proud of it. It was fun to research. I have so many people that contributed, legends of the sport, people that contributed. Gober Sosby, his family gave me stuff. The Flock family gave me stuff. The Georgia Racing Hall of Fame opened up their archives. University of North Carolina, Charlotte. It was so fun, guys, to see so many of these great racing artifacts. And if you're a racing junkie like I am, like you guys are, just to hold some of these things, to touch some of these trophies, and some of the memorabilia that went with all these collections was just mind-boggling. It was so much fun to do it, and I think it comes through in the book. Maybe that's one of the reasons why it's doing so well, is I just had so much fun researching and writing it, and I think the final text bears that out.
1001 NASCAR Facts. Your author, John Close, number one new release in automotive racing on Amazon.com. And I think that one of the 1001, let's just go and spill the beans. The fact that you say that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is not retiring after this year, he's going to be racing for another 5 years. I can't believe you waited this long to put it out.
You know, when you got a scoop like that, it's really hard to sit on it. But, there's a bunch of junior stuff in there. There's all kinds of, there's plenty of photos of him. There's, you know, I knew his father, Dale Sr., pretty well, being in the garage area all those years. And there's certainly plenty of stories about him as well. You know, if you're a Petty fan, or if you're an Earnhardt fan, or if you're a fan of any of the new drivers, I mean, there's stuff about Bill and Chase Elliott. It's a pretty wide-ranging book, and again, it was just a joy to write it and to be in the garage area Friday and Saturday during the All-Star weekend here and see the reaction of people across the sport and how much they appreciated it was really pretty humbling, guys.
John, we appreciate you doing this. 1001 NASCAR Facts, and again, you can get it on Amazon.com.
And we're going to give one away.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Speed Freaks. Now, what's the next 1001? 1001 NASCAR drivers wearing male rompers?
God, no.
Wow. You know, I mean, the driver suits have definitely changed. Maybe that is.
No.
At the end of the day, Kenny, it's where can they put the sponsor logo?
Bam. I mean,
as long as it's fireproof and safe and they can put a sponsor logo on it, man, they'll wear anything.
No.
Hey, John, good luck to you, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
Appreciate you having me.
Statman, on that note, are you familiar with these new male rompers that are going around?
You've mentioned it a couple of times, but I'm not entirely clear. Oh. Yeah. It's not like a union suit, is it?
It's...
What the hell is a union suit?
Well, union suit's a onesie too, right?
Yeah, that's the onesie. You've seen them in the cartoons where it's got a flap in the back.
This is kind of like that.
It buttons up the front.
No,
but
it's
instead
not
of
like
it,
that.
It is kind of like that. But instead of it being long pants, it's shorts. And it's a union suit for dudes that just happens to be shorts.
You don't have a flap in the back, though, to take a dump.
I don't know. I haven't seen the back.
No, you don't. I think women started wearing these rompers, and they're just not sexy on a lot of women. And evidently, there's a company that started a GoFundMe, something of that nature, and got enough money to fund the production of these male rompers. It's a freaking one. It's just ridiculous, man. And it's...
they're horrible.
Damn, people are clamoring for it. So, yeah, man. Probably
do they only sell them at Walmart?
No. Walmart,
online.
$110, $120.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, and that price as well. Forget it. Yeah. Maybe if they were $20, somebody would buy them. But, $110?
1001 things that you shouldn't be seen in. That's what his next book is going to be.
Romp him.
Male rompers. How about this, Freak Nation? How about ordering some fries and getting a little mustard gas on those fries? I'm talking about, baby.
Not much motorsport.
Helio or helium.
Not.
Well, not only that.
Much.
Thank you, I love you.
And headlining the party.
Douchebags.
Moose.
Not much motorsport.
The freaks.
Not much motorsports.
All right, the sultry sounds of Tell Me Something Good here in the Freak Nation. All right, so how about a little mustard gas on your fries? Servers at a Wendy's fast food restaurant in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, say a woman sprayed...
Wow. What the... Wow.
The mind boggles how they came up with that name.
In Minnesota.
Okay.
This is Coon Rapids, Minnesota, not Indiana.
Hey.
All right.
Say a woman sprayed them with mace during a dispute over stale French fries. According to the criminal complaint, when police arrived, employees told him... Iram Chanel Amir Dixon ordered at a drive-thru and insisted her French fries be fresh. During an ensuing argument, over the fry's freshness. Servers said Dixon reached through the window and then employee retaliated by throwing a soda at the bride.
Yeah. That wasn't in South Central, was it? That was in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. All righty.
Statman, we're just going to send you there so you can do the show there from a Sunday night, just to say you're in Coon Rapids.
That's a heck of a port of call, you know?
Right.
Live from Coon Rapids, Minnesota. How do you say that?
Right. Where are you from, buddy? I'm from Coon Rapids. Yo, you from the CR? So Dixon then grabbed her mace canister and sprayed it into the drive-thru window, according to the employees. The manager of the restaurant was hit directly in the face. Another employee was also hit. Dixon faces one charge, the use of tear gas to immobilize. No charges were filed about the thrown soda. Yep.
There it is.
That's how we roll in the Freak Nation.
Coon Rapids.
Coon Rapids.
That's my hometown. Don't be talking about my hometown there, buddy.
Nice accent. Oh, my God.
You know what? The mayor of Coon Rapids. So this surprises you, Statman? Maybe related to the Koch brothers. His name is Jerry Koch.
No, I think he's more likely related to John and Jerry Meth than he is to the Koch brothers.
In 1835, the Red River Oxkirk Trail was laid to establish military trade connections between Minneapolis and Anoka. The city, until it was sold, incorporated into the Coon. Okay, there it is.
What?
When the dam was built, the Anoka Township renamed itself Coon Creek Rapids, later shortened to Coon Rapids.
That Coon was, Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
It gets better and better.
Coon Rapids.
Huge. That's good, Crash. I'm going to make you the official Trump.
No.
Remember to shoot the juice to the moose. And what is that stat, man?
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
We'll be right back.
listening to Speed Freaks Motorsports Radio Redefined.